Yeah, I do over there, Austin. You're talking to me before I'm trying to do an intro. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research, along with a few other little humorous articles we may find on the way. But good morning. Good seeing you guys again. Austin, you about ready to sit down here? Are we playing games here? I don't know what we're doing.
On the struggle train this morning.
having a conversation with you before we go on the air. Just in case you think this thing's not live and unscripted, we are right here. Oh, by the way, the USS Abraham Lincoln is withdrawing to the U.S. after supposedly, we're not sure here because the U.S. is denying it, sustaining damage because Iranian attacks has basically have been hit with either drones or a missile strike. Now, quite frankly, I personally would give this about a 90% truth story because, you know, we got these ships sitting down there like giant targets.
Yeah.
And then we got these missiles coming in, these drones coming in, and these strikes. But you would think that the Phalanx system would stop most of this, but they can only stop so much, especially with these hypersonic drones that they have coming in.
Reloading payload.
Yeah.
Much munitions they have stored up for how long they plan on this engagement to be.
That's right. But you know what's interesting to me is I was watching that movie Midway the other night. It's a great movie done about 4, 5, 6 years ago. And the Japanese carriers during Midway were basically fooled into believing that the United States had come in from Pearl Harbor. They were hiding behind Midway. And they had to change their armaments on their planes to basically go after ships. And while they were doing that, they were vulnerable to attack. And that's exactly what you just said with the armaments on the ships. And then pretty soon one of our dive bombers came in and dropped a payload right in the middle of it. And the thing ignited and the fuel was everywhere. Nobody knew what to do. And the fuel started vaporizing and the CO2 wouldn't work because their power was out and the entire carrier exploded. These ships carry a lot of munitions and a lot of fuel and a lot of jet fuel. And when they start getting hit with ordnance, if they don't stop the ordnance or the ordnance penetrates it with bunker bombs or they start penetrating bombs, they can cause a lot of damage very, very, very quickly. It's like the Lusitania when it was basically torpedoed during World War One. Austin and I were there. We were right there at the scene where it happened.
Well, we weren't there during the Lusitania.
We were the location where it happened.
Yeah.
Well, not there. That was like 15 miles offshore, close to it. And what ended up happening, they had slowed way, way down on purpose. And the submarine was told they were out there because they were trying to create a precipitating incident for us to get into World War One, the United States. And then sure enough, a German captain says, oh, well, as we know it's carrying munitions. We've warned everybody not to be on these ships. Dropped one torpedo they had left, hit the munitions bunker on that boat. It sunk in, what, 15 or 18 minutes, and thousands died. So, you know, when you start having these big ships and things start hitting their munition bunkers, you have a major problem, especially when you have carriers that are billions of dollars, Austin. Billions of dollars, and you're trying to sit out there in the Gulf and pretend like nobody can see you. Nobody can see us. We're only, you know, 1,500 feet long. Nobody will pay attention to us. Yeah, it's a pretty big target. It's pretty easy to hit if you drop enough munitions on it. So I give it 90% that it was hit by something, and it's probably returning back to the U.S. for repairs and or, like you said, to rearm.
Well, we had a refueler go down. I think four Americans died of that. So yeah.
Paul Craig Roberts said over 1,000 are dead now. Now that's his opinion, his estimate. Now I don't know. All I know is that something is not right over there, and we're being told basically a lot of lies. And the craziest thing is there was an article that came out when one of our senators says basically that, you know, what's he saying? That we have a senile president giving orders that he has no idea what he's doing. This is Senator Chris Murphy. Of course, I'm sure he's a Democrat. And it says that Trump has been widely condemned for dragging the U.S. into a new Middle Eastern conflict with little justification and seemingly no clear plan for how it will end. The president's long-faced scrutiny over his mental acuity has made a number of erratic and misleading comments about the war since it began on February the 28th. Sources have also told CNN that the Pentagon and the National Security Council did not even bother planning for the possibility that Iran would close the Strait of Hormuz in retaliation for any attacks. I mean, duh, should they not have known that? Iran's closure of the vital shipping lane has triggered a global oil crisis with prices once again topping $100 a barrel. It's funny, they've got two Arabs sitting here looking over the Strait of Hormuz with a big smile on their face.
And who profits from oil going to $100 a barrel?
The guys who like free air.
There you go.
The speculators. I mean,
they run both sides, man. Well, they feed both sides of each war.
I've had so many positive emails in Texas from yesterday's show in which I read you this stuff about what true Zionism is. And the other thing was this morning, another guy came out and said, Benjamin Netanyahu is a coward. that he right now is not even in Israel, that he is in Germany in a bunker under the ground, you know, hiding.
I believe that.
And because yesterday he came in and he started talking about Mashiach. He did. He did their press conference. We talked about it yesterday, too, about bringing in the... See, the Old Testament, you know, talks about, you know, Israel's fall. The Talmud talks about Israel's return. And the Talmud says that the Jews may not take that land by force, that their Mashiach is going to come and take it for them. And then they can move back into it. But under no circumstances are they to go in and do it by force. That's what it says in their own Talmud. They're breaking that. And here's what Benjamin Netanyahu says. This is the man who started a regional war and then disappeared into a foreign bunker in Germany while other people's children's burns. There's no sirens over his head, no shelter dash at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just Benjamin Netanyahu, safe, comfortable as being a coward, believing his own perversion of theology, while Tel Aviv gets the receipt in blood for Bibi's arrogance and bloodlust, while the IRGC in the past wave of 38. The audacity of invoking the Messiah while ordering the slaughter of children, the sociopathic episode dressed in scripture, backed by Christian Zionists and Baptist churches globally. Thought I'd mention that, and Assemblies of God churches. Every major Jewish tradition explicitly forbids the forcing of the end times, warns that those who try to push the end are committing one of the greatest sins in existence. And here stands Bibi Netanyahu, architect of the regional Holocaust, while his son is hiding in South Florida and he's hiding in Germany, casually inserting himself into the eschatological prophecy like a man who thinks he's been cast in a role that God wrote for him. Just remember, Schneerson told him that. Schneerson. He said back in the 90s, that you will bring on the Mashiach, whatever the Messiah. This is the most dangerous thing on earth. By the way, Schneerson was the one they all thought was the Messiah. A heavily armed narcissist with a messianic complex, a nuclear arsenal, and extremely desperate. Real leaders of men stand with their people in the fire. The Iranian leadership took the first strikes on their own soil and did not run. This man sent an entire generation to die for his Messiah complex, and he can't even show his face on the streets of Tel Aviv. Not a prime minister, not a leader, not even a man. Just a coward hiding in a hole, waiting for God to clean up his mess. He may just get an inversion of that biblical wish. That's a strong article. And I'm in 100% agreement with that. I can't believe these people do this, Austin. It's like these generals who basically look at men who are going into fight and never realize that these men are going to die and refuse to put their own children into those combat situations, and they themselves would never go into that. That's why I love the old stuff with a gladiator with Russell Crowe. Remember that movie, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
He was general. And he was leading on the cavalry on horseback, the attack at the beginning of the movie. That's a real man. These guys that sit around in their planning pods and do all what they do, say what they do, that's ridiculous. I'm sure you have a health story.
Well, no, one last article. I'm coming here talking about cowards and, you know, people that are just unbelievably pathetic generations of society. I want to cover this because this. They're telling you guys now who they support. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. This was Lindsey Graham on Fox last night. I can't stand this man. I loathe this guy, but I want to show you guys what these guys actually believe and how they think. Listen to this right here. This actually even shocked me, even for a flamer like him.
Flamer? That's better than the other word.
Yeah, I wasn't going there.
I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
At least Lindsey Graham is now talking about the state that he represents.
If I go back to South Carolina, I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast.
Did you know 45% of conservatives below the age of 40 view Jews as a threat to the American way of life? That's 70% of them viewing Muslims as a threat to the American way of life. That is twice as many people above the age of 40. That is according to a survey from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. And not my Instagram comments. 54% of young Republicans don't believe the Holocaust happened, according to the Manhattan Institute. Hispanics and blacks believe in conspiracies more than whites, proving diversity is our strength. More Israelis support the war in the Middle East than Americans do. Every age group in the United States, even the baby boomers, are, in a plurality, opposed to the war in Iran.
This is why they're having to do so much propaganda right now.
I want you to play his comments again, Lindsey Graham, at the very beginning. I want everybody to listen very closely.
Oh, yeah. He's tying it in, but I want to show everybody, too, all these basically polls now showing you there is no solidarity with this. There is no support for this conflict. Very few people actually want to go along with it.
You know, it's funny. We started talking about this stuff 10 years ago, and you guys sent me letters. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, Ted. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be Israel.
I'm not with you. I'm with Israel.
Our stuff to Israel. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
At least Lindsey Graham is now talking about the state that he represents.
I go back to South Carolina. I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast.
Did you know 45%
That's quote from him on Fox last week. I'm going to South Carolina, and I'm telling my constituents to send their sons and daughters to the Middle East. Do you understand the hubris and the arrogance?
You know, okay, I'm going to say something that I really don't like to say here, right? Here's the thing. I was raised in a bar, okay?
Unbelievable.
Now, I could write a book, My Lessons Learned in the Bar. I could, German Beer Tavern. And the problem with the German Beer Tavern is a lot of people use bad language. And every once in a while, I kind of revert back to that. I want to say something ugly. And I try not to do that because this is a clean show and we do our best that we can to be right. Now, if you've never said a bad word in your entire life, I ask you to adjust your halo as best you can because that ain't me. I try not to. I try not to do things I shouldn't ought to do, but sometimes I just do it. I almost lost it when you did this with Lindsey Graham. I almost said something really, really ugly. And I'm not going to do I try my best not to do that on the air. But this guy makes me want to cuss. I'm sorry. I know. Do you think, well, I can't believe you said that, Ted. Look, if this doesn't want to make you cuss, that he wants to go back and send the boys and the children of his constituents to die in a war to bring back the Antichrist on the planet. I almost said another word, the Antichrist, so he can kill the planet, and he's with Israel until his dying days. I'm going to say something. Piss on him. I'm sorry. I can't stand this. Forgive my language. I can't stand people like this. They're hypocrites, and they nauseate me. He's so twisted in his scripture because of the Scofield Bible and Samuel Untermeyer and Theodore Herschel and all of the stuff that happened 100 years ago that he believes his own rhetoric. Their Talmud forbids taking Israel by force in the Middle East. It forbids it. To try to force us. Schneerson told Netanyahu, and you can watch the video on it, back in the 90s, 30 years ago, that he was going to be the person who brings in the Antichrist or their Messiah. And so now, you know, Netanyahu thinks he's got this mandate, who they think from the guy was their Messiah. Well, I got a question for you, Buckwheat. If this is what you think, why is Schneerson dead? The Messiah is not going to die. He obviously wasn't who he said he was, and that what you think he is. Oh, gosh. I remember Trump's daughter routinely goes to the tomb, the burial site of Schneerson, because she's a hardcore Kabbalah Shabbat person, just like Jared Kushner is. And this mess is running the White House. And if you don't see it by now, you're not paying attention. This is a disaster that's happened over here in the Middle East now because of Trump and Netanyahu and Jeffrey Epstein because they're trying to cover all that crap up because all these clowns that are over there are being controlled through that because they have videos of so many of these people with little girls. This is sickening to me, Austin. And I'm sorry, but when you read that, when you just played that by Lindsey Graham, I can't stand that guy.
Well, no, that's the arrogance. That's when I saw the video.
Hubris.
I'm sitting there going, really?
Until our dying day. It's not his dying days. We're going to send our children over there to die. That meow boy, I cleaned it up. That meow boy isn't going over to pick up a gun for nobody. He has to drop his purse first. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. my veins coming out of my neck. It's awful.
Glad you get to do it today, not me. See, I watched the video last night already. So I got to have all this. I got this out last night.
Talking about triggering me.
Oh, don't. I was irate when I watched it last night. I watched it again. I'm like, I thought it was AI at first. That pulled up a whole video clip for Hannity on it. On Fox with Hannity.
What the heck is wrong with these people?
But you got to remember, dude, they're our greatest ally. You got to stand with them till your dying day. And all your friends' sons need to go over there and die for them. The fact that he said that on national television boggled my mind. Remember, that's a sitting U.S. senator. Let's address that. That is a sitting U.S. Senator.
You people in South Carolina, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why do you keep putting him back in office? Stop it. Jeez.
That's
like that Bob Newhart TV show when the girl was afraid of being buried alive,
in a box.
And he goes, just stop it. Don't think like this. Get him out of there. I don't want to listen to his mouth anymore. He's a flamer. He runs around with a purse. You guys, why do you want him representing you? I know a lot of macho people in South Carolina. Why do you vote for this clown? Unbelievable. Wow, Austin, thanks for getting me all riled up this morning.
No problem, Dad. Hope you enjoyed that. If you guys also enjoy these other instigating topics, be sure to check us out on thebrowershow.com, the Health Masters Report we have here.
No, you're not done yet. No, I'm not done yet. No. The thing that irritates me here, as I'm trying not to use bad language, is the fact that we have a situation now in this country that the Christian Zionists have supported this mess.
That's the problem.
And here's the problem.
It snowballed.
Here's why. It was sugarcoated to them. They don't realize that the Talmud says that Jesus Christ was a demon-possessed sorcerer who was basically died in the vat of sewage, and that the Virgin Mary was a whore. They don't understand that. They don't understand if you go over and try to proselytize in Israel, they will beat you and take you to jail if you try to tell somebody about Jesus. They don't get that. They were sugar-coated that this is the Holy Land. Go over and have a Holy Land experience. Let's go over and ride around on the Sea of Galilee. Let's go see where Jesus walked. And let's have a person who's going to take us through a guide show over there that's going to be really nice and tell us how great Israel is. I know people have been there 50 times, pastors that have taken groups over there, and they're hardcore Zionists. And they give them everybody this sugar-coated review of what Israel is. They don't tell them the truth of what's going on, how they want you to be their slave. And they're following this whole Antichrist from hell. They don't tell you that the Antichrist is coming out of Israel and he's going to be a gay Jew. They don't tell you any of that stuff, and that the whole prophecy of the Scofield Reference Bible was to bring the end times into thing so they could get raptured. They've been given this pretty picture that they're going to be sitting there and suddenly their clothes will be there and they'll be gone. And they'll be up in heaven wearing their priestly gowns applauding as they watch the world go to hell and burn. And you think, why would they want that anyhow? Why would they not want everybody to be saved? And they're trying to press this with the temple fund. When they tried to rebuild that temple a few hundred years after Jesus had been resurrected and went back to heaven, the entire area where they tried to do it and the foundation stones erupted into flame. God said, hey, not happening. We're not doing this. Why do you want a third temple rebuilt, Christians? Do you not realize that Jesus' sacrifice and the shedding of his blood was for all time? That he's an omnipresent being. Do you not get that? Why do you want to have the temple rebuilt so you start killing animals there for the repentance of sins? Why are you thinking like this? give me. I'm
you good? You good now?
No, I'm not. I'm
you get
mad.
That in your system?
No, I'm not. I'm not
well,
mad.
No, you're spot on with that concept, though. They have sugarcoated it. They brought this ideal, picture perfect concept up of what everybody's supposed to do with it. So again, wild topic, very divisive topic. A lot of people get angry about this topic because, quite frankly, I think now, and you just saw, that's why I wanted to show you guys the polls numbers on that, where the guy's bringing it up, is the fact that the vast majority of people are not for this anymore.
The vast majority, here's the thing. Gosh, calm down. Father, let me slow down some. Here's the thing. Everybody thought when I talked about this 10 years ago, and covered all this in Angel Wars, 4 years ago. Oh, this will never happen. There's no way this will happen. This is too far out there. And then my response to you when I started the Angel Wars series was, I don't believe what they believe, but they believe it. Okay, this Mashiach thing. I don't believe any of this stuff because they feel as though they have to do this to fulfill prophecy. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or if you're religious or you're a Christian or not. These guys are loons. They eat babies. They drink blood. They're nutbags. They need to go through a wood chipper feet first. These people are sick, these Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews. They are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. They are Satanists. They worship Lucifer. It talks about it in the book of John. All in the Bible talks about the synagogue of Satan twice in the book of Revelation. But Christians ignore all of that. Because they want to be raptured. Now, I don't know why they want to be raptured. I'm happy as I am here. I don't care about this. When it's time to go to heaven, it's time to go to heaven. We ain't going to get raptured, in my opinion. Ask all the people right now in Lebanon or all the Christians in Gaza if they got raptured, Austin. They didn't get raptured. They got annihilated. And this whole war is blowing into an entire Middle Eastern conflict, and it has the potential of creating World War III right now. And yet, we're sitting back going, oh, it's okay. We have to support Israel. No, we don't. Donald Trump was bought out by Wilbur Ross in 1989 when he worked for Rothschild, Inc. Israel controls the world banks and world money supply through the Rothschild banking cartel, of which Israel is their fiefdom. That's why this is not, when they believe this prophecy stuff, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or you think they're nuts. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or you're a Jew or you're basically you're Islam or you're Hindu or you're a Buddhist. The people who control the money of the world and all the central banks in the world, now they're hitting the financial centers in Iran because they're trying to shut down their central bank. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not or if you're a Christian or not. These people believe this stuff. They do. And this is what they want. They want to bring this stuff in. And so if you need to basically educate yourself and find out who Jesus was Jesus is and realize that he's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith and that he set this whole thing into play on Calvary. And he said, this is it. It's done and it's over. But these guys don't want to read the script. They want to do what they want to do and force what they want to force because this is Lucifer working through them because he always goes to subvert and invert everything. That's what he does. That's why they eat children and all the other sick crap they do. These are perverts. They're a bunch of doggone. And I told you guys this years ago. I said these are satanic perverts that have inverted everything. And these people go out and they do all these horrible things because they realize, they think that if they sin and sin and sin, it'll bring back their Mashuka. That's what they believe. It's all inverted. And that's the problem that we have with this. And then we want to support this mess. We can't support it. We got to step away from it say, we're not doing it. We're not supporting Israel anymore. But no, I just said that, didn't I? And I said that in the state of Florida, and now I can get in trouble for that. Because they passed laws against that.
Here's the thing. This is why you made a very, very, very strong statement a second ago. You said this is why it's so important to get educated on certain topics. Nobody has the excuse anymore in 2025 of saying, well, I don't know anything about that. I don't even know anything what's going on with that. Nobody has that excuse anymore. The whole, I'm going to turn a blind eye and I'm just going to ignore it because I don't have time to think about it. That time's long gone. It's 2026. I mean, you can literally type in a few keywords into a search engine and find out just a good deal of certain topics. Now, some may be propaganda, some may be theater. This ties me into why I told you guys it's so important you're getting your information from reputable sources. And that's why on this show, I continue to bring you guys a lot of the truth. And I got a bunch of health topics I'm going to cover here in a minute. There's one last video I want to show you guys. It popped up. I had it saved. Then I just had to pull it up real quick on another page. It just came up. And it shows you again the level of propaganda and rhetoric where you have the script now has completely and totally lied into one singular statement, one brief from every single mainstream media. This is why I tell you guys the mainstream media is nothing but propaganda for the machine.
The mainstream media is controlled by the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, Austin.
Watch this. This was last week when oil prices started going up. Now, the entire news outlets in the United States.
AP Wire.
They had to switch
Reuters.
Gears. What happened is, once fuel hit $100 a barrel, and all this crap's going on now in Shanghai on Sunday night, hit 118 on futures, then came back down. Everybody in the mainstream media now is having to twist the narrative to try to get more people on board because the polls are dropping rapidly. I want you guys to watch this video. There's almost every single mainstream news outlet saying the exact same thing verbatim, back to back. You guys will like this.
Option for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain be for long-term gain.
We're going to have some short-term pain with long-term gain.
Short-term pay for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain, yes, but we've got some long-term gain. Short-term spike for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain for American consumers.
We may have to deal with that in the short term.
Short-term and temporary.
Temporary short-term pain.
It's going to suck in the short term.
Some short-term pain.
Short-term pain. We have to focus on the short...
I'm not going to lie. It goes on for like 3 minutes. It's every single mainstream media news outlet saying the exact same key talking point. Everybody just needs to go, we just need to deal with this right now. This is the short-term pain we're going to deal with for long-term. Well, please explain to me, what is our long-term gain with getting in a protracted conflict with Iran?
Well, first of all, let's stop this for a second here. Okay, long-term pain, short-term gain. Okay, all this stuff. Number one, AP Wire and Reuters are both controlled by Rothschild. Period. They own it.
Yeah.
Okay. They tell the news stories what to say. Mm-hmm. They send out the news blitzes like this. I'll never forget when I was basically doing the radio all the time. I saw it. And if they said Ted Brewer doesn't get on the show anymore, yep. Ted Brewer doesn't get on the show anymore. We can't have alternative people talking about alternative things to health care. If Ted Brewer's coming on there and telling you how to lower your blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels, and to feel great all of the time, and you can't have him on because we have all these other companies promoting all their attitudes and all their drugs. I had it happen to me over and over and over until I just pretty much got blackballed on mainstream media because I did over 4,000 talk shows as a guest on mainstream and big stations like Steve and Vicky in Atlanta, big stations. And they loved having me on because the numbers went through the roof because I was telling the truth. They didn't want me telling the truth. And because they want to be controlled, everything is controlled. The narrative is controlled. We have a 21-ring circus going on right now.
That's exactly
they
right.
They had to bring in this war right now because the Epstein files were being discovered. And more people were looking at the Epstein files. And more people were talking about the Epstein files. That's why this got pushed this fast. Because all of a sudden, Israel knew that if the Epstein files got exposed fully, they no longer had leverage over Donald Trump because it was already made public. I had a pastor friend of mine years ago when he was young and dumb and not a pastor. He tried to pick up a prostitute. You think, why are you changing this topic like this? Because I'm breaking it back because I'm about to get my blood vessels out too far. And his mother was basically part of the church with his father who had started it, and she extorted him. Yes, this happens in churches for more money. And said, if you don't give me more money, I'm going to tell everybody about you being arrested for the prostitute thing. So he called me up and he goes, Ted, what do I do? These charges were dismissed. They were dismissed. And I said, tell your flock. And he goes, what do you mean, tell the flock? I said, tell it from the pulpit. That you got arrested when you were 18 years old or whatever for trying to pick up a prostitute. It was inadvertent. The charges were dropped. But you wanted them to know that. Everybody makes stupid mistakes. You should have said something to this woman. And he said, I can't do that. They'll flog me. I won't be a pastor anymore. I said, they won't. Everybody makes dumb mistakes. Okay, just tell them. And he did. He talked to the pulpit when he was 18 years old or whatever it was.
Can't keep repeating them.
Here's the problem. These are 10 and 12-year-old girls.
Yeah,
this is not the same thing. This is a serious problem. Okay?
Well, no,
and they're doing all kinds of weird stuff in these. Where'd the 1,000 girls go that got taken to Epstein Island?
Yeah.
There's about 20 of them left.
Well, then on top of this, you have these emails going into all the sick stuff we've discussed on the show. I'm not going to spend all time on that. And here's the problem that I think everybody's starting to get fatigued on. It's the same story rhetoric every time we have one of these conflicts. It's always to use another distraction. It's always to get more control over an area. It's always why the boys that love free air make more money on the fuel and the short-term gain.
But remember, this whole Epstein thing was gaining so...
Oh, it was.
Nobody was... Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Ted and Austin Brewer, we were all pushing this over... I mean, and we were saying, okay, this needs to get exposed. And Netanyahu, this is all leverage. Do you remember that one movie, John Wick?
Oh, yeah.
The first one. Remember?
Maybe
the first one or the second one. When he went into that vault with that priest in that church or that bank or wherever.
The first one, yeah.
Remember? And he went in there and he had all that money and all the tapes and all the blackmail.
Hard drives, yeah.
All the blackmail. And he went there. He didn't steal anything. He burned everything.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, do you realize what he's done? All of our leverage with the judges, all of our leverage with the congressional leaders, all of our leverage with the police, all of it is gone. Because we no longer have the blackmail material.
That's the interesting. I'm not going to get too much in as far as the filmmaking, but that's what actually, that first film, a lot of the depiction, they got weirder. The last couple of them got a little stranger. But the first one was, that film, what it was trying to depict, and what it depicted very clearly, is the underground network,
mafia,
deep state, and the mafia, and how they're controlled through the government, and the CIA, and the Black Ops. That's what that whole movie was about. It showed you, the underground world that controls and runs everything with the CIA and off books money, all the stuff that gets redacted.
And that's why that book, Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Vatican, and the mafia. We've interviewed the author of that book. That's a must-read book, Paul Williams. And I tell you what, when you understand the complexity of this, when the USS Normandy was sunk at its piers in New York Harbor during World War II, they brought back, I think it was Lucky Luciano, they brought him back from Italy where he had been exiled to run the harbor and the mafia to control things. And that's when our government went into bed with the mafiosa groups right there, and they've never left it. And because they run the drugs through the CIA and all the rest to pay for the shadow stuff that they do, because they don't want to go through Congress trying to get funding. All of this stuff shows the corruption of our government. And when you start seeing things like the Epstein files get in triplicate and people are being released and everybody's going, we want the rest of them, we've had enough. suddenly we have a war in the Middle East, a war to end all wars in the Middle East.
Well, that's because, and also, too, that like 47,000 pages still got redacted, and that release didn't come out. And all the stuff now we've seen is with Trump, with Epstein, with that 13-year-old girl, and all this other weird stuff. And so,
and none of us know if this is true, but all we know is that if it's not true, we should at least be given the right to look at this stuff and see what we hear and know what we know. But remember, Netanyahu can't control the narrative if it gets out because he no longer has leverage.
If it wasn't true, they wouldn't have tried so hard to keep it suppressed for so long.
I know.
Let's just be real. Like you said, with, like you said with your buddy, you know what? It happened. It was dismissed. Whatever.
The church didn't even pay any attention to it.
Let it go.
And then his mother couldn't. But if it gets real
like
dark,
you said, though, you start doing this with your little girls and little boys, there's no coming back from this. Mm-hmm. You can't come back from this.
And that's why Epstein did it, because he knew if he did it, he had complete control over them for the rest of their lives.
That's still, in the United States, that's still such a taboo, dark world that nobody will ever accept.
And you remember this, friends. Listen to me. Epstein was Mossad. He worked for Israel. Don't forget this. That's how deep this goes. Their convictions of bringing back their Mashiach, or whatever they want to call them, their Messiah, their Antichrist, is so deep. I read about it yesterday to you guys. They're willing to do anything, including go hide in a bunker in Germany while all hell rains down on Iran and Israel right now. This is some crazy stuff that's going on right now. The difference is, Austin, these Iranians, Rome couldn't conquer these dudes. These guys get, when they get carried.
They're probably Persian, weren't they?
That's Persian. One of the reasons the Roman Empire came down. And the crazy part about it is when you look at it and you see it, you start to realize that their religious fervor is just as deep as those Zionists.
Yeah.
So we got two groups that completely hate each other that are going at each other right now.
And they will not back down.
No, they will not surrender. They will die first. Both groups. It's the problem is the people in Israel, the ones, the Jews that are basically.
And we got sucked in the middle of
it's horrible. And the Jews that believe the Torah, who don't want any of this stuff, even the ones who believe the Talmud, who don't want this end time being enforced, they don't know what to do either. They're like, hey, wait, we are not part of the synagogue of Satan.
The ones that still follow the Torah, they don't want anything to do with any of this.
No, no. Well, you got to remember, the Jews don't want to be involved in any of this, the ones who are the real Jews, not the synagogue of Satan, because they don't want to be persecuted again. Yeah. They've been thrown out of 100 countries already in the last millennial. They don't want to have that all happen again. They're like, God, don't do this again. You know, we're making some money here. This is great. Leave us alone. They don't want any part of this. And that's why I told my buddy Mancow that yesterday. I said, you can't conflate the Jews with the synagogue of Satan. They're too. What if I say this? Why are you laughing?
Money here. We're good.
We're good. Let's make some money, man. We got some free air going on. We got it made. Let's do it, man. We got
to. Why do we all have to go to another war again?
Yeah, why do we have to get kicked out of the United States now? This is awful. You know, why do we have to do? Why do you have to do this again?
I got
to
switch gears. Protected children, right? This is a big deal. Everybody agrees with protected children. This is a pretty cool article, though. This is a positive article. More parents are refusing the newborn vitamin K shot more than ever now.
Good.
This is about time.
It's full of mercury, Austin.
Well, the vitamin K shot does not have mercury in it.
It's aluminum.
It's got 100 micrograms of aluminum in it. Yep. And what's crazy about it is there's no reason to have aluminum in it. It's a vitamin K shot.
It's a vitamin.
It's not a vaccine, right? It doesn't need an adjuvant in it. It says here.
It doesn't need a sterile.
No. It says the number of parents refusing the vitamin K shot from the newborns has jumped significantly now in the past few years for good reason. I've had so many parents ask me about this, about vitamin K deficiency. If the baby won't stop bleeding. Here's the thing. If the mother, and I'm confident saying this, if the mother is taking proper prenatals, like her ultimate prenatals, and she's healthy and she's eating clean and she's staying away from junk and she's getting the proper supplementations, and there should be very little chance that the baby has a true vitamin K deficiency. Very few chance, ever. I haven't seen one. Possibility, always. There's always a possibility of something. But is it rare? Yes. It says soon after birth, American babies are given a vitamin K injection to prevent a rare bleeding disorder. Vitamin K. It says parents refusing the shot has jumped 77%. 77%.
Now that's increase. That means that 77% are saying no. It means it's a 77% increase.
Says, yet the number of parents refusing the shot has jumped 77%. Vitamin K deficiency bleeding can strike suddenly without warning. However, it basically occurs in a small amount of babies. Said the birth centers and out-of-hospital settings, I've seen a steady increase in parents refusing vitamin K shot over the last decade, almost non-existent. They said, well, vitamin K deficiency is rare. It can be horrific. However, proper prenatals are what basically prevent this from happening. says babies are born with very low levels of vitamin K. Vitamin K does not pass easily from mother to baby through placenta. That is why the mother has to take large doses of high-quality bioactive vitamin K throughout the pregnancy.
And biotin.
Biotin, folate, MTHF, the folate. That's why we put together the prenatals that we have. You can add an additional
Best folate. Best in the world.
Additional B complex. Whatever you want to add an additional, we recommend it. We're here to help. You can call us if you got any questions on that topic. But see, what's happened is now, and I had a vial of it somewhere in my office. I have to find it again. Somebody brought me one. They brought me an ampule. It says contains less than 100 micrograms of aluminum per shot. Now, the biggest question that I kept asking, and I did a whole show on this a while back ago, so I'm not going to go into detail this again, because I'm going to burn the clock. I can spend an entire hour on the vitamin K shot. Why is it the vitamin K shot needs 100 micrograms of aluminum, which is an adjuvant, which is used in vaccines to allegedly be a preservative and also be a sterilant and also be an adjuvant to cause an inflammatory response towards the virus that's in the vaccine? It's a vitamin K shot. It's not a vaccine or immunization. Aluminum is completely unnecessary to be in that shot. Then you couple it with the hepatitis B shot right at birth, which also has around 100 to 125 micrograms of aluminum. So you're taking a brand new baby, brand new on this earth, made in God's own image, beautiful baby, and you're taking an injection, you give it a vitamin K, nice, 100 micrograms. Oh, hepatitis B, you need a hep B shot. Well, the mom's not hep B positive. Doesn't matter. Give him a shot. So the baby in conjunction can get over 200 micrograms of aluminum, which is a known neurotoxin. I did a whole show on this. Aluminum injections into the body don't process through the liver. They go right through the brain, through the blood-brain barrier, because it's getting injected into the bloodstream via hypodermic needle. The baby does not have any ability to stop this aluminum from entering their brain at all. It is one of those toxic substances known to man, right below mercury. Yeah. Great idea. Give an injection. And they've made billions and billions of dollars off those two shots in aggregate. And in my opinion, cause enormous amount of health problems. And this is me speculating, because I can't prove this. But it's just what I've personally seen. My opinion, I think a lot of the reasons why they put these shots together and they try to put them in kids right out the gate, from a base sadistic standpoint, not all the health talking points, is that they want to make sure they got a reoccurring effect for the baby to come back to the hospital and the pediatrician as quickly as possible to generate as much income as possible to continue to keep the revolving door of the baby and the doctor getting regular schedules. And then what they do is, too, this is another reason why, secondary option, they want to get the parent conditioned to giving the baby injections. How do you do that? You do it during an extreme trauma-based setting. The baby's just born. Pregnancy's intense. Everything's going on. We're not sure what to do. We're handling this all. Emotions are high. Energy's high. Everybody's exhausted. By the way, we're still a standard procedure. We got to give them two shots real quick. And you're like, what? We're giving them two shots. Yeah, we're giving them two shots real quick. Okay, give them two shots. Well, what that does is that desensitizes the parents right out the gate to say, oh, it's okay. They already had those two shots. I'll give them the next round of shots at 3 months to the pediatrician, and the next round at 6 months, and the next round at 8 months. And it starts that revolving door of keeping the parents taking the kid to the doctor for wellness checkups to give these injections that cause significant problems to their immune system, to their brain, to their organs, to their development, and it goes down the line and continues to cause more problems. And it keeps, adenoids are shot, got to remove them. Tonsils are swollen up, got to remove them. Tubes are, ears are plugged up, put tubes in them. Oh, they're sick too, put on my antibiotics, messing up the gut brain microbe. I would need a whole detail in this show months ago on these shots. Again, this is my personal opinion from my educated documentation that I have been reading for over 20 years on this topic. I've personally seen, dud, people ask me how many shots my three kids have had, and that is a big, fat, whopping zero. Zero shots. I've done enough research on it that I've said I will take the risk of not having immunizations in them, and they will take it as we go. But when you start realizing the psychological impact that it puts on a parent, saying, hey, baby's just born, you're exhausted, you're tired, we got to give him two shots, do you consent? Yeah, I consent, I'm exhausted, I haven't slept in 3 days. Okay, give him two shots. Well, then now you go, well, what, too many issues with that? Now I'm at the pediatrician 3 months later. We need to give him six more shots. Okay, we'll do that. 6 months later, 3 months later, gotta get more shots. And it gets everybody on that merry-go-round of thinking this is normality, and it is not at all. And having a sick child continually go to the doctor is not the norm, guys. It should be the complete opposite of that. And that's what we try to promote on this show. That's why I tell you guys, keep your kids on the supplements, the ultimate multiple chewable, the cod fish oil, the DHA caps or liquid. Keep their brains and their bodies strong. Keep their immune system strong. Let them build up naturally. If there's something you decide later on you want to give them a shot for school or traveling, that is your choice. That is your choice. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life or your kids, but there's always the option of deferring them in later on in life or later on the next couple of years instead of giving them these shots right out the gate in a year or in a newborn, 3 months, 6 months. That to me makes no sense from a physiology standpoint at all.
That's one of the best segments you've ever done on prenatal shots and shots and all the rest.
Well, to me, I think that's how it from a sadistic standpoint, that's why I think they've done it the way they have. That's
well, no, they program the parents.
Programming, yes.
And the thing about it is they don't even tell you that your body has an unbelievably hard time and really can't produce antibodies up to the age of 24 months.
Right.
And so the shots are useless.
But the first year and a half, the baby really doesn't have much of an immune system.
But now vitamin K shot's different because it's not an antibody, but the problem is they're still dumping that aluminum.
Why is there aluminum in it? It's not immunization. Why is there aluminum in it?
And again, it goes right back to what we've told you so many times and we've suggested to you so many times and we've pleaded with you so many times. If you're going to get pregnant, ladies, listen to me. Start a year in advance with prenatals.
Yes.
A year.
Yes.
Get your body built up. Get your nutrients built up.
And clean
up.
Your body out, too. If you're toxic, run the GHI cleanse.
Okay, here's, stop drinking alcohol.
Yeah, clean that liver out.
Stop drinking coffee. Start taking your vitamins. Stop eating chocolate.
Purple sticks if you need a caffeine punch.
Stop eating chocolate. Stop eating junk food. And get your body ready, because if you're going to have a temple that's going to build a baby,
it's true.
You know, you think about it for a second. A woman can get pregnant with sperm and an egg and grow an entire child inside of her body.
9 months.
9 months. It's unbelievable. I mean, and you think about it, if you have an injury to yourself, like you break a bone or you have an Achilles tendon or you have a bone spur and all these other things, the body has a hard time fixing that by itself. But she, that woman, is so unique with what God gave her and the ability to do that, she can create life and basically have that life come out of that womb healthy if she gives the body what it needs to support that child in its developmental phase. And that's why it's so important that we do this. None of my children have been vaccinated either. One time we had Austin get a tetanus shot, go to camp, and he got unbelievably sick from it. And I said, that's it. And I wasn't going to do it. And I told Austin, sorry, not happening. And Austin got so mad because he wanted to go. He forced us basically by yelling and screaming and carrying on.
Don't put it on me like that. I was 12 years old. Don't deflect that onto me. It was a single tetanus shot, by the way.
I know it was.
Ampule shot.
No, it was
not a DTaP shot.
He was very upset, we put it that way, because he wanted to go to this camp. And he was 12 years old.
But tetanus is also one of those things that they have looked at. Is tetanus can't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If you get tetanus, it can't kill you.
No.
The problem with it is tetanus, I'm not diametrically opposed to all tetanus immunizations.
Yeah,
the problem
so
is
sick.
You can't get tetanus single ampules anymore. They don't exist to my knowledge. They're all DTaP. They put them together in that mix.
So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be very clear. None of the other kids got that, regardless of how much they fussed about it, because he got so sick about it. And because, quite frankly, you know, when you got a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old kid, and you're telling them they can't go to church camp. Now, let me finish this.
It was like a week.
No, it was like a week camp. You know, it's a big deal to them, especially when they're homeschooled and they want to hang out with their friends. It really is. And so he got really upset about it, and Sharon wanted to do it. I didn't want to do it. It turned into a big fight. So we went ahead and did it, and then Austin got unbelievably sick. And I looked at Sharon, and I said, this is never going to happen again. And we never did it again with any of the kids. That Austin got no more shots. But he only got a single tetanus shot.
I was 12. I was well-developed at that point, too.
Yeah. But it's still, he still got sick from it. The problem is that I want you to know that we all have to make these choices and these decisions, including us at that time, because of the pressure that we were being put on. And the church said, no, he's not going to go. We're not going to let him go without a tetanus shot. And the sad part about it, even with a religious immunization waiver, they would not allow us to do that.
Because it was a private event, is what it was.
So no matter how much pressure your spouse puts on you, no matter how much pressure the church puts on you, no matter how much pressure your child puts on you about these types of vaccines and these types of shots, always think about the long-term benefit or the long-term gain or the long-term problems associated with it.
I feel like I've done pretty well, muddled through life well after the tetanus shot, though. I mean, I've done okay. Yeah. Well, see, but
I wanted to verify that. Yeah. I wanted to let everybody know that we went through that, too, Austin, and we had to make that choice.
Well, and this is why I bring that, and that's why I said what I just said a second ago.
You can't get a single tetanus shot anymore.
No, that's the problem. You can't. This is what I said a second ago, though. the pressures you get and the air you live and the state you're in and what may be happening with you, you always have the ability in most cases to try to defer these shots from at least a not so insanely young age. What? If you were having to do one for whatever reason, I'm not telling you what to do, try to make sure you're not doing it at 6 months. Try to at least wait until three or four years old.
Well, you know, and quite frankly, I would not do it then.
I wouldn't either. But I'm saying.
But the point is, we all go through this, including me and Sharon. We went through this with Austin going to church camp, and you know he's homeschooled. You know he has all of his friends going to the camp. We want him to be with his friends, and all this pressure got put on us all. But listen to me. When you're a parent, listen, this is very important. You've got to make decisions sometimes that you don't want to make that's going to make the kids mad. And sometimes it's going to make your spouse mad.
Or it's going to make hospital workers mad.
You
tell them you don't want a vitamin K and a Hep shot in the hospital.
Oh, they get mad.
Oh, they're going to pitch a fit. Oh, yeah. I've pre-warned all my friends when they're having kids. Mm-hmm. If they're having a hospital, I said, are you guys doing the shots? No, not doing the shots. I said, be prepared for this in advance. The nurses are going to have a conniption fit when you do not sign off on a vitamin K and Hep B shot.
They used to make you go through a whole little lecture when you went to the county board to get the dog.
That's the exemption.
Okay, they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't. Not Florida.
I remember the first time I went and got the religious exemption. I got the lecture and I got about 50 pages of material. And as soon as they gave me the material, I got the exemption from. I tossed the material in the garbage. And they looked at me like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm not going to read any of this. I know better. I'm a naturopath." The next kid comes in, same thing. We'd go back over, and the same lady's there, and I throw it in the garbage can. Third kid comes in, and she goes, "Don't even bother talking to him. He's going to throw all your paperwork in the garbage. Give me a shot." That's what she said. She said, "We already know him. He's not going to do this." And see, that's the result. So you have to make decisions before things happen.
That's exactly right.
You know, that's why I told you years ago when Biden was going to come in and give National Guard shots with a COVID shot, I sat in the living room, and I talked to Sharon, and I said, "What do you want to do if they come here to do this?" I said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "I'm not doing this." I said, "This is the hill I'm going to die on." I said, "They're not going to inject me with a sludge. If they want me to go meet Jesus, I'm going to go meet him on my own terms, not like this." And she looked at me. She said, "Give me an AR-15. I'm going out with you." I said, "Okay, we're good." We talked about it in advance. She said, "Well, that's a terrible thing to even mention." Listen to me. When you've got something that you've got to make a decision on, you don't want to do it, like Austin says, under duress in the hospital while they're screaming.
While you're exhausted, you haven't slept in 3 days.
You want to make sure those decisions are made in advance.
That's exactly right.
You know, that's why you talk to your spouse, you talk to your fiance, you talk to your girlfriend before you get engaged, and you say, "What do you want to do about spankings? What do you want to do about corporal punishment? What do you want to do about vaccines? What do you want to do about prenatal vitamins? I mean, what do you want to do about all this stuff if we get married?" You do it in advance.
Well, and this ties back into almost every aspect that I continually try to encourage you guys on. The same thing, it goes with a combat or basically conflict scenario. You don't want to find out how your gun operates or clears
jams in the
middle of a doggone fight in the middle of a parking lot.
You don't
want
to think about
children.
It. Nope.
That's not the time to figure out how well you are at reloading a magazine or how well you are at clearing a jam or how well you are in a close combat situation. You do that in advance in training, and you do it over and over and over and over and over again until you do it without thinking about it.
I'm going to say something, and I'm not suggesting that anybody does this unsafely, because you can really get in trouble doing stuff like this. Not from a legal standpoint, but you start blowing holes in your TV screen. Okay.
Well, it's called dry firing training.
No. What you do is you get there, and don't do this in front of your kids, because they will not understand this.
No,
okay?
they'll think it's a joke.
They'll think it's okay to do all this. And you take an empty revolver or whatever you've got. Usually it's a revolver.
Or Glock. You work on your draws, too.
Well, you got to do
that. Holster.
And they've got videos that you can do this on the wall. They have screens. Okay, you can do it. And you dry fire on a live video target.
Yep.
The military trains like this. And then your brain sees that over and over and over again. So if you have to do that in real life, it's not the first time you've done it.
Correct.
I did this for years. And then a few years later, I got attacked by a Doberman.
Yeah.
You got to tell you the story. He was there.
Oh,
he was 8 years old. And it's a big boy. He's coming after me. He's going for blood. He had already given another person 200 stitches and put him in the hospital. He's an attack dog. And I was in my backyard. And he came after me, and he's running towards me, and I've got my Glock, my full-size 9mm, and I'm like, "Well, I've been here before. I've done this 1,000 times on the TV." Double-tapped him, running at me full speed, hit him twice, shot him twice. You think, well, that's awful.
He was going to kill me.
Let's clarify that. I love dogs. I had a ton of dogs. This is not a, oh, this is cool. We shot a dog.
No.
This is a dog that, and I remember him very clearly. This dog should never have been in a residential area.
He bit the fence until he bled from his mouth.
I watched him do that multiple times. I'd be over by the chain link fence.
He tried to tear it open.
And my ball would go by the fence, and I'd go for the ball on my side of the fence, and he would hit the fence so hard it would push the ball off the fence, and he would bite the fence while I'm trying to get the ball.
Blood
coming out of his teeth, and I'm like, and me, I'm like 7 years old. I'm like, man, this in my head. I'm like, this dog's really scary, but you know, he's my next door neighbor dog. I guess this is normal. This is what dogs do over here. This is kind of weird. It was normalized. I got used to it. Sad as that is,
we finally put up a PVC. Yep. We put up a cypress PVC cypress fence between us on top of the chain link, so he'd stop attacking the fence and scaring everybody. He was that bad of a dog. And then the painter went in there and got in the backyard one time and basically got bit and got ripped open so bad. Yeah. He had 200 stitches.
I never understood in Central Florida, Polk County, why they didn't put that dog down.
Because he was in the guy's yard. The painter went in his yard.
Now you do understand, if a dog bites in aggression, there's a call out on that. The dog is automatically euthanized in the state of Florida now.
Even he's doing his job by protecting
even
the property.
Your own property now, unless it's an intruder.
Yeah,
like it is a, you know, it's basically coming to a home invasion.
But so the reason I say that, I'm not bragging about shooting a dog. I wish that had never happened. No. It was awful.
It was bloody, man.
But the reality is I was prepared for it. That's why you get prepared for the things that you don't want to do in advance, so you don't have to deal with them and say, oh. So if I'm sitting there with the dog running me at 35 miles an hour, teeth hanging out,
and you've never even shot your firearm at the range, but you carry it. You think you're cool.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I think to myself, I wonder if I should do this. I'm dead. This guy's going to kill me.
Hesitation gets you killed in the fight.
But I remember I sat there. Everything went in slow motion when I dropped the gun on him. And I thought, okay. And I thought, here's what I thought. There's going to be hell to pay when I shoot this dog. That's the only thing I thought. And I went, double tap. And oh my gosh, it broke loose. I mean, it was a mess with the neighbor. I finally told the neighbor, I said, why are you so angry? I said, if this dog had hurt me or killed me or bit me, I would have been suing you. I said, you've been in the middle of a massive lawsuit.
That's what would have killed you.
Well, and if it had bit you.
Yo, yeah.
And it had already gone after. I had a yard guy working for me that morning. His name was Indy. He was from Puerto Rico. And the dog went after him and went for his throat. And my dog, my Malamute, got the dog midair and caught him, broke a bunch of the bushes. This all happened before I got outside. That dog was loose. And the crazy part about it, the neighbor knew the dog was loose. He was a dentist, had gone to this office to see his dental patients and didn't notify anybody in the neighborhood the dog was loose.
Left the house.
Unbelievable.
Anyways, that goes back to exactly what we're saying. Big decisions require big thought processes, not at the time of current stress. You need to do it beforehand.
Yeah, but I mean,
you don't wait until you're in the hospital.
The police officer told me, he goes, how many times did you shoot him? I said, twice. He said, how many times did you discharge a weapon? I said, twice. And he goes, you shot him twice and hit him twice from 30,
on a double 40, tap.
On a double tap. He goes, do you realize we missed 3 out of 5 shots within 10 feet of somebody?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I didn't know that. He goes, yeah, because you get the adrenaline going. I said, well, there was not a choice. It was either me, because I couldn't get back into the house. It was too late.
That's why shotguns are so effective for CQB.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, pistols put holes in people. Rifles put holes through people. Shotguns at the right range with the right load will physically take chunks off your opponent. That's why 12 gauges work so well.
So funny.
Well, it is. That's what it does.
I've never heard that before. That's right.
Why do you think they had the trench gun went to the 12 gauge in World War One, World War Two? You didn't have to miss. You couldn't miss. It's trench. You're 3 yards away with double op buck. You hit everything.
That one movie, Clint Eastwood, I forgot what it's called. He had that where they were going to go kill the guy who had messed that girl up.
Yeah.
And hey, the one guy who couldn't hit anything, but he had a shotgun.
He had a scatter gun, that's what they called it.
And James Caan had that one time, too, one of the movies. He's always running around with a little short sawed-off shotgun in one of those John Wayne movies.
You know, that's a side note. I always thought, you know, the CQB, the short barrel shotguns, you know, the Serbus and all that were the coolest thing. And I shot one day with a 12-gauge Magnum round. I was like, yeah, man, got the 6-inch. You know, it's tax stamp. Got a 6-inch 12-gauge. I'm like, oh, this is sick. Now, granted, there's not much anything more effective in CQB from person to person than a 6-inch shotgun. Because the double-op buck at 3 yards.
You call it CQB.
It's close quarter battle. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But at 3 to 4 yards with double-op buck out of a 6-inch barrel, everything's done. Every organ's hit. Anyways, I digress. I shot a 3-inch Magnum out of it, one shot.
Hurt the wrist.
And I was like, well, I guess in the middle of that fight, you're not going to I mean, we fights
over one shot.
Why should we shot a watermelon with it?
Oh my god!
There wasn't even a watermelon there. There weren't any pieces of the watermelon.
It was disappeared.
It was gone. It was disappeared. It literally was just red mist, pink mist. And I was like, "Golly, yeah. That's how effective that gun is." But man, next day I was like, "That 3-inch Magnum boy on that pistol grip."
I remember I had a Mossberg that I took and put a grip on it. I took it back off and put the dog on it. And, you know, now, stop back on it.
Mossberg made an amazing shotgun called the Shockwave, which is a 14-inch barrel that does not need any tax stamp. You could buy it without any permits. They put a bird head grip on it, and it's called a firearm. It's not a shotgun. It's not a pistol. It's not a short barrel shotgun. It's within 27.5 inches and 27.75 inches, which falls in a legal loophole that ATF could not rebute. And if you want a short-barreled shotgun that has no legality paperwork to it and is completely legal, the Shockwave.
And before you buy it, make sure you check your local laws.
Yeah, but Mossberg never paid me to say that. I just raised, when Mossberg came out with that, I bought one immediately from him because they're completely legal. It's still rough to shoot. But it's fortunate. Great shotgun for a truck.
Well, I still like the Sega shotgun with the 20-inch, oh, yeah. 20 round drum.
Well, Genesis spun that off now. They're expensive, but Genesis has that one now. They're really reliable, but they're expensive.
Well, that's Sega. That thing, it's never jammed.
20 round drum.
Yeah. That's crazy looking.
Street Sweeper who? Those are old school now.
This whole show turned into a fireside.
Again, I had a bunch of
angry
hell topics.
Fireside angry chat today.
You gotta let me do a solo next week. Yeah, you gotta go out of town. Yeah,
you got 3 minutes. Do a hell show. Do a hell topic.
Hell topic on here. Another article is coming up now. This is interesting. FDA unveils a new vaccine injury tracking system besides the VAERS now.
Well, good. I hope it works.
That's what they said. Is it any better than the old one? The new adverse event monitoring system for vaccines merged the agency's previously separate adverse event. Let me slow down. Purple sticks kicked in hard. Event reporting system for vaccines.
I had too many purple sticks.
Well, sometimes they hit you, and you build up a lot of steam with them. You're like, oh, man, I'm kind of dragging. It's like a two-stroke.
Yeah, that's when the veins come out on your neck.
Yeah. Everybody's run two-stroke dirt bikes back in the day. There was one power band on them. On or off, two.
Yeah, sure.
It was either on, it was all on or all off.
That's true. They were.
Sometimes purple sticks hit you like that.
Yeah, they do.
And so basically, they're going to be.
Lindsey Graham kicked my purple stick in this morning.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh my god.
I didn't. I wanted to trigger you a little bit on you, but I didn't expect to get that trigger out of you. But see, I dealt with it last night at like 10 o'clock at night when I watched that. Yeah. I couldn't sleep.
He just.
I take like 3 melatonin. No, I got mad last night. I watched the whole video with Hannity. It's like 10 minutes long. And I about threw my laptop against the wall, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
If he wasn't such a meow boy.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
If he was retired Marine Corps and he was hardcore in his Israel beliefs, I'd still not agree with him at all. But if the guy was combat effective and he's like, I've done this, I'm supporting this, I'd be like, okay. To have somebody that's that big of a pansy, I'm trying to keep the show PG.
That's that big
of a soft boy that says, I'm going to go to my constituents in South Carolina and tell them to send their daughters and sons. You understand the level. I don't even want to get this.
Avarice.
I'm going sideways on this. New VAERS report getting.
Moron.
Rebuilt now. The FDA. Now, there's either one or two things are going to happen with this. They're doing this to try to cover up the VAERS reports that already has been documented, and they're trying to merge that and purge the old stuff, or they're actually coming out with legitimate VAERS.
Sounds like something Kennedy's doing.
That's what I think.
You know, Kennedy's the only bright star in this entire Trump administration.
That's about fact. With the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again, that's the only one that has been based on following a bunch of lies.
I would, at this point, vote for Kennedy to be president.
I would, too. They'll never let him in, though.
No.
They'll never let him in because he's too conservative beliefs with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He has done now with people questioning vaccines and food dyes and food additives has been enormous, more than anything else anybody's been able to do.
You know, Trump started off good. He put him in and got Doge going. You know that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it just all went sideways.
It's because the boys that love free air.
Well, that's because of Jeffrey Epstein files. And all of a sudden, they had to push their narrative faster.
Well, and you can't have somebody that's high-functioning autistic that's good with numbers like Elon Musk, because he's really good with numbers. Mm-hmm. You can't have him come in and start auditing the government. Because he comes in and goes, well, look at this, 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 this. The man came in and just went berserk. Came in with a chainsaw. That's what they call him that.
My attorney the other day was having to do an eviction from somebody over there in St. Pete because the guy was fired by Doge.
Ooh.
John didn't tell you that.
No.
No, he And the guy basically, you know, had his super expensive home, and he was leasing it. And all of a sudden, he can't make the payments on it. Now he's getting evicted because he got fired.
They just shut down
from lack of productivity. And I remember he sent emails to people who never even answered.
Yeah,
who basically never even
pulse checked.
They weren't doing anything.
He said, "All I want is a response on five things you worked on. I don't even care if you went to the bathroom today. If you took a break for 30 minutes,
They got so angry.
Because there was no response. Like 20% of the emails they sent out never even got a response. They were dead emails, and they were listed as employees.
We're out of time.
Burn the clock on this one.
Hey, this was.
I promise you, I'm going to bring you guys a health show next week.
Wild show today, guys. Wow.
Multiple capsules on sale, product of the week. Check them out, my friends. I do so much health stuff, and I put it here on the website for free. Sometimes we get sidetracked on the show. Be sure to check them on the site on the health articles. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Stay blessed. Stay alert. Stay strong. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.
And keep your hearts and minds in Jesus every day.